If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws pertaining to the will or testament according to fatwas issued by Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei or martyred Ayatollah Khamenei. And we'd like to continue along the same line. Well, is it permissible for someone, Sheikh, to make a provision to in his will that after his death, his body is to be put at the disposal of medical students for dissection?
Right.
Or is it haram to do so, as it amounts to muthla or mutilation or dismemberment?
Good. Well, according to His Eminence, al-Shaheed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei,
yes,
may Allah bless his soul, the prohibition of mutilation, muthla,
yes,
does not apply here if there is an important benefit in doing so.
Yes.
In donating one's body for medical dissection. Usually there is an important benefit.
Yes.
So, because the dissection is for gaining skill, for improving medical education, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. And the religious authorities have said that as long as there is the body of a non-Muslim, it's not permissible to dissect the body of a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is no non-Muslim body available, then it's okay to dissect a Muslim's body for this very purpose, which overweighs, in terms of the importance when we compare the two things, dissecting a body or maybe disrespecting a body. There's no disrespect because the body is dissected for medical purpose.
Mm.
So in the eye of custom, it does not amount to a kind of disrespect or disregard or insult to a Muslim body, right?
Yes.
So as long as the body of the Muslim deceased is treated respectfully, there is no objection to such a will made by the testator.
I see. Does it matter where you live, like whether you are living under an Islamic government or not?
Of course, you're not allowed to give your body to non-Muslims and let them
dissect it.
Of course, dissect and tear your body into pieces for education. It is what we mean is Muslim youth students,
yes,
acquire the skill and education and the training to dissect a body and learn something.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. I have a relevant question, but we have to leave it to after the break. When we come back, we continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the will or the testament according to fatwas issued by Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei or martyred Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, I asked you a question related to dissection of the body of the deceased. I had a related or relevant question before the break, and I promised our dear audience actually to share it with you. And that is, if someone has instructed in his will that certain parts of their body be donated to the hospital or a particular person, is such a will valid?
Well, a will donating body parts is valid and enforceable as long as the removal of the body part does not constitute disrespect or desecration of the body. This is the opinion of His Eminence.
I see.
And there's nothing more to add.
All right. Is the permission of the inheritors during the lifetime of the testator to spend more than one-third of the estate sufficient to make the will enforceable? Assuming that it is sufficient, is it permissible for the inheritors to change their mind after the death of the testator?
Okay. Well, if inheritors give consent during the testator's lifetime to spend more than one-third, of course the will becomes enforceable. And they cannot revoke this consent after death, telling them that we do not want this to happen, of course, because they gave their permission consent in the first place. And of course, any such retraction is legally ineffective. Because they consented to it in the first place. And of course, they cannot retract.
I see. Well, somebody said that, or asked us, that in his will, a person has instructed the prayer and fasting that he missed during his lifetime should be performed after his death.
Right.
He got martyred in the war, leaving behind a furnished house. If his possessions were to be sold to pay for hiring a person to do the job, this would leave his inheritors facing hardship, especially his fledgling children.
Right.
Well, what should the inheritors do about his will?
Well, according to His Eminence, Shahid Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei,
yes,
if the martyr or the Shahid left no estate, no one is obligated to act on the will.
Yes.
Because there was not any property left by the martyr. But the eldest son, of course, if he has any son, must perform the missed prayers and fasts after reaching puberty. And if there is an estate, one-third must be used to fulfill the will, regardless of the hardship faced by the inheritors, regardless of the difficulties encountered by the inheritors. One-third of his property and asset may be used to perform those lapsed duties.
I see. In order for the will to be valid, Sheikh Javed, should its named beneficiary exist at the time of writing it?
Right. For a will involving transfer of property, the beneficiary must exist at the time of the will. Even as an unborn fetus, you know, provided that the child is born alive. The child is born alive.
Yes.
If the child if the fetus is dead and it's, of course, it's born dead, then, of course, the situation changes. So the beneficiary must exist, even if it is in the form of a living fetus. The fetus has the potential to be born alive. Okay,
yes.
So that fetus, which is either a male child or a female child, must be included in the will. It must not be ignored.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stick around.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Javad Hossein, the program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the will or the testament based on the fatwas issued by Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei or martyred Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, in a written will, a person appointed an executor to enforce his will. He appointed another person to act as an overseer,
right,
without specifying his authority or his scope of power.
Right.
Is it only to know about executor's acts, or not? They are not in accordance with the terms of the will, or should the executor act according to the opinion of the overseer?
Right.
What should the boundaries of the authority of this overseer be?
Well, the overseer's role is supervisory, not decision-making. He is not supposed to instruct the executor to do what and not to do what. Because he just needs to oversee whether the job is done perfectly well or not, to observe. So if the executor's authority is absolute, absolute means not restricted by any provisions or any limitations.
Yes.
So he is not legally bound to consult the overseer, okay? Though consultation is recommended as a measure of precaution, there's nothing wrong with consulting the overseer, but he is not legally compelled to seek advice from the overseer. Mm-hmm. He has to go ahead and comply with the will as directed by the testator.
I see. Well, somebody asked us that in his will, the deceased appointed me as the supervisor and his son as the executor of his will. Since the death of the son, I have become the only administrator of the will. However, for personal reasons, I have become increasingly busy, so much so that I hardly have time to attend to such matters relating to the will. Is it permissible for me to change the areas in which the returns of one-third of the estate is going to be spent by giving them to a certain department to spend the income in charitable causes and for the poor and the needy, registered by that department?
Right. Well, a supervisor cannot independently implement or alter the will after the executor's death, right? Unless the will explicitly appoints him as a successor.
Yes.
In which case, of course, he has the authority and the power to execute the will as directed by the testator.
Yes.
In the event that, he's not appointed by the testator as a successor, of course, a qualified religious authority must appoint a replacement executor, someone who should act on his behalf and do and execute the will. Altering the will is not permissible under any circumstances because the will and the testament left by the testator must be complied with and must be fulfilled in the same way as directed by him.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Javad, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew. We bid you farewell, and until another show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن